You got this idea that maybe there's something bigger and better for my life, something in Christ that I don't have right now, or I'm a believer, and you know, I want to maximize my potential because time, I don't know how much time I got left.
Welcome to the Rock Podcast. This time we'll hear Pastor Bill Barnwell discuss the importance of community as he looks at Matthew 4, 18 through 22 with a message entitled, Calling People into Community.
Well, last week, we had a birthday celebration for Rock Church, which was born last week. And we're going to begin talking about community as we continue to celebrate the birth of this new church that you are all here and all are a part of. And while you do that, I'm going to ask you to flip to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. That's what you just watched right there. And this was really the, you want to call it the birth of Jesus' public ministry in terms of reaching out to his disciples. Now, we had a fun birthday here last week for Rock, and we want you guys to continue to participate in festivities each week. So I want you to continue to get the word out about what we're doing and what we got going on. I want to thank a number of you that wished me a happy birthday today. I don't want any applause, no applause. I'm not a big fan of birthdays or whatever. But anyway, I turned 37 today, 37 years old. 37, and my wife asked me the other week, in fact, I don't know, I might use this bit on my stand-up thing, I'll see how it goes over. Anyway, she's like, hey, do you want to have a birthday party? You know, we could send out invitations, we can get people to come to your birthday party, and I said, I'm going to be 37. Who cares about age 37? Seriously, if somebody sent me something in the mail saying, come to my 37th birthday party, I'd be offended. They're just searching for gifts. It is just an excuse for that. I mean, 40, I can understand, maybe in 45, 50, but 37. That guy don't need no party. But anyway, I am happy to be here on my birthday with my church family. That is exciting. And we're going to begin starting the sermon series right now on community. And what you just saw Jesus doing, what I'm doing here, what you're doing here is taking part in community. We want to call people in Rock into community. In fact, if you look in your bulletin and you look at the back, you see our core values. If we were to distill the six things our church stands for, item number four, welcoming people of all backgrounds into a Christ-centered community. On the front of your bulletin, you'll see our purpose statement. Welcome to Rock. What are we about at Rock? Seeking truth by embracing an authentic relationship with Jesus that transforms lives. And that is what Jesus is beginning to do when he reaches out to his first four of what would become 12 disciples, people who would come into his inner circle. And the ministry of Jesus lasts about 3.5 years and then is handed over to these people whom he has trained. And within decades, this small band of believers, this small band of followers of Christ, which spread a little bit further than those initial 12, eventually went through the entire ends of the earth and reached thousands of people within 3.5 decades. And that's where you get to by the end of the book of Acts. But if you want to take notes, you got a notes section in your sermon notes section. The theme of our message today is truth is embraced by a relationship with Jesus and strengthened by a community. Now, you notice I didn't use the word church because sometimes we have a misconception of church. Sometimes we have the idea is that church is what's going to save me. Church is what's going to draw me closer to Christ. And yes, and well, no, church isn't what saves you. Jesus is what saves you. Church is a facilitation place where community can take place. And we help community take place here within the church, and we also help community take place outside of the comfortable four walls of the church. And one of the best ways to build community is what we're going to see from Jesus' own example, is not just sitting around and waiting for people to come to us. It is by going out and reaching out into the community to draw people into community. Does that make sense? We reach out into the community to begin drawing people into community so that we can have real life relationships with real life people, which is one of the things that the church facilitates. Now, Sunday morning service is great. Sunday morning service is important. But I want to encourage people to take advantage of these small group opportunities, Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and other ones that will come around. Like if you're a teen, become a part of the youth group. A kid, get your kid into the kids program. If you're an adult, get plugged into one of these small groups where you can begin knowing and building community with other people. Because it's good to come here and sing some songs and hear an inspiring, hopefully inspiring message. And learn how to live that out on a day-to-day basis. But also you got to build community with people. There are a number of you that are here today that I don't know and I'd like to get to know. And I'd like you to get to know other people so that that community can be built. And church, properly defined, isn't a building. Church is the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? It's a relational organism that exists to serve Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of good ways to build community. I've just talked about some of them. And there's a lot of bad ways to build community. In our electronic digital world, I mean, we can't do any, I've talked about this, we can't do anything today without our cell phones, right? If you say no, you're probably lying. It's okay. Already, I've got 3 Snapchats, 14 notifications on Facebook, 5 notifications on LinkedIn, 2 notifications on Twitter, and 3 emails, and that's just from 10:30 when I started. Do you guys remember when the internet first became a thing? How many remember that? Remember you had to type in http://, and all these symbols, and it was a very complicated thing, very complicated thing. And I remember back in the days, back in the 90s, which now all of a sudden is retro. The 90s are ancient all of a sudden. You guys remember America Online? Remember when that was the internet? Yep. A few of you still have America Online or AOL addresses. You haven't moved on yet, but that's okay. That's okay. But I remember when America Online was the internet. And you ever kill time and you go into one of them chat rooms? Remember that? Remember chat rooms? Remember that was a thing? I remember I'd go into chat rooms and I'd go into the News and Views. That was the News and Views chat rooms. Because what better place to get your point across and convince people of your point with screen names in a chat room with people that don't know you, right? What better way to make it happen? What better way? And then I started getting into, once I found Jesus and once I wanted to spread the gospel, then I'd go in the Christian chat rooms and then I'd go in the atheist chat rooms. And again, what better way to strike up a relationship with nameless people with screen names on the computer and begin arguing about religion, right? That's really going to go very far. So people do these kinds of, these things don't exist anymore. But we still do, you ever get those chain emails from your great aunt or whatever about some crazy claim that supposedly is true that's not, and you begin, here's a good rule of thumb. Don't ever do conflict over text or email. It doesn't go very well. You do that face to face. Another good rule of thumb, if you want to build community with people. Now look, the cell phones, the emails, the computer, all that stuff is great in helping facilitate community. Send you a text, when we going to meet? Meet me noon downtown on Thursday. So we can actually have a face to face conversation. A face to face conversation where we actually talk. People nowadays, remember when phones used to only be used to call people? Somebody calls me now and it's not business, it freaks me out. What do you want? What are you doing? Remember when we had answering machines and that was a thing? And now we're like, we still have voicemail. I don't know why I have voicemail. Just text me what you want. I mean, somebody leaves me a voicemail, I'm scared. It's like a terrorist threat or something. Like, why would somebody be leaving me a voicemail? They could just send me a text. I mean, why do I even need to hear your voice? I can just send you a message. I remember, and again, this is people of all ages. It started with kids, and now it's trickled over to adults because adults are no better. I remember, it wasn't even 10 years ago. I took 20 or so teens or more or whatever to some big youth convention out in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And you'd think, you know, you've got all these junior high and high school kids, and there was like 1,000 other kids at this event. 1,000 other kids. And there was 2 public computers that you were able to use, and there were a crowd of kids around the computer because they wanted to get on their social media accounts to message other people back home. And I thought that was pretty strange because there's 1,000 real human beings over there, but you'd rather talk to the electronic screen. You know, we're so drawn to the screen. I'll use the screen. It's fine. I'll use the screen a little bit here and there. But nothing can replace real relationship. The electronics can just be accessories, hopefully, to facilitate the real human relationship. They should not be replacements. I met somebody go like, well, I don't go to church. This is the thing. I go to e-church, where it's people who just sit and talk on some internet forum and they watch a sermon and then they talk about it. I guess that's fine again as a supplement, but nothing can replace actual relationship. So if you're here today and there are people that you don't know or people you'd like to get to know, whether you're a young adult, a young couple, a young married, a middle-aged person, I'm not going to use the word senior citizens, I use the word mature people. Whatever you are, get into relationships with other people because that's what's going to make the difference. Now, let's go to the meat of our text and just draw out some meat from what we saw here visualized on the screen, yes, but also here from the passage that I'm going to read to you, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. It's a very straightforward but yet profound account. Jesus calls his first disciples. Verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Some translation says, I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets. Some translations will say they dropped their nets and followed him. Verse 21, going on from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to us through it. May you teach us about the value of community and relationship with you and with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you want to take notes, point number one, I'm going to draw from this passage, and this is important. Jesus purposely sought out people to form relationships. Point number one, Jesus purposely sought out people to form relationships with. He was intentional, and this is where many churches and believers miss the boat. They expect everyone to come to them. And especially in this day and age, that's not on everybody's top 5 priority list. Most of the time, people are not going to come to you, particularly as it pertains to the gospel that either they're not familiar with or they don't know, or quite frankly, to be blunt, that they don't care about. So let's use another retro 90s reference while we're here today. Remember Kevin Costner back when he used to be kind of famous? Remember that? Yeah, that movie Field of Dreams. Remember that movie Field of Dreams? Some of you might remember that. And there was that tagline in the movie, "If you build it, they will come." Remember that? "If you build it, they will come." And that's how people think of church. Well, if we just build our building, if we just exist and we have a pulse and we are alive, people are going to want to come to us. That's not how it works. You got to go to the people, and you got to go and meet the people where they are at. And people are messy. And Christians need to get out of their holy huddle and get out of their comfort zones and go find people where they're at. So if you're a college student, you are on a university or a community college campus, there are people that you could develop relationships with, but you got to go to them. If you work and you're in a company and you work with people, you got to find ways to have spiritual conversations with people and do it without being creepy. That's the caveat right there. You know? Hey, what do you think about the Tigers this season? Think they're going to do well? What do you think about Jesus? Do you think that he's going to rise? Do you think he's your Lord and Savior and that he rose from the dead? But there's a natural way to have spiritual conversations with people without being bizarre about it. In fact, you can actually use the church or use your small group or use something that you're doing. Hey, what are you doing this Wednesday night? Oh, nothing. I'm going to probably be on my phone texting people and, I don't know, on Netflix. Hey, I've got a small group that I'm going to be going to. I'd like you to come along. Maybe meet some people. You know? I mean, there's a number of ways that we can talk, but the point is, Jesus took initiative and he purposely sought out people. He didn't just stand in a corner with his robe and some aura and holy thing over him, and then everybody just started following him. No, he made the initiative. Doesn't it feel nice in general, when people make the initiative to reach out to you? Think about it on your end. Like I just said, it freaks me out when people call me. But yet, when somebody does call you and they're just like, "I just want to say hi. I was just thinking of you." Or they send you an email or they text you and they want to know how you're doing. Doesn't that make you feel valued? That is normal. That's natural. That's human. So people, if they know that you are thinking about them and they know that you value them and they know this is most important, that you're not just out to convert them, that you're not just out to push your beliefs on them, but yet you actually care about them. If they know that you care, but to actually care about them, you're going to have to actually get to know them. So maybe even before you start talking about the triune God and the Trinity and the atonement and this and the that, you might need to learn about, you know, what's your name? What do you enjoy doing for fun? Who are you as a person? You want to get to know people. I want to get to know you. Get to know those around you. And after he sought out these were fishermen. These were basically, a lot of times, it wasn't so much portrayed here, but you watch a lot of these biblical movies, the fishermen, they're all portrayed as, and the disciples, so you know, they were young. The disciples were young men, maybe late teens, young adults at most. These were young people, but they were small businessmen. They were small businessmen, they were fishermen, they had a job to do, they had an income to bring in. And Jesus reaches out to them, and he gives them the opportunity to invest in them. Now, it's heartwarming when people reach out to us, but when you tell people not only do I value you, not only do I care about you, but I'm willing to invest in you. I'm willing to give you time. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. When you tell people, when you show people through your actions, not just through your words, but you show them through your actions that you're willing to invest in them, that speaks volumes. You'll look over there on the wall. It says, seek, serve, send. Kind of a trifold way of how we play out our mission statement here at Rock. There are people that are out there that are seeking out truth, and they're looking in various different directions to find it. Some might not be looking for it at all, but you know what? We need Jesus sought out people. We need to be taking an interest in people, not just for the sake of building our little empire here at Rock, but because people matter. People matter to Jesus. People ought to matter to us. People matter. And then when we intentionally reach out to people, we want to draw them into community, community with Jesus Christ. You know, it's nice to know that, I don't want to minimize this at all. That's foundational, to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He wants to have a relationship with you. He is your Lord and Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14, chapter 6. That is a great starting point for people to know that God loves them, that God gave their life for them, that God gave his son's life on the cross for the sins, for all those who would believe. That is an excellent starting point of the gospel. But yet to nurture that faith, people need to know that there are others around them who are going to invest in them, people who are going to care about them. And that's where the church then comes in its most pivotal point. Point number two, Jesus cast a community vision that inspired and stirred the heart. Jesus cast a community vision to these disciples that inspired them and stirred their hearts. He said, leave your nets behind. Drop your nets. And it's not what they were doing was bad. Again, they were small business people. They had a job to do. They were doing their job, presumably, fairly well. Nothing wrong with being a fisherman. But he came to them and he says, I've got something I'd like to propose to you. And I'm paraphrasing here. Who knows? I mean, the gospel, I don't know what the full dialogue was. The gospels don't give us, you know, gives us the nutshell version. But I'm just going to stick to what the text says here. Jesus says, leave your nets behind and follow me. You're fishing for fish. That's great. I'm going to give you the opportunity to fish for people. Now, if you take that utterly literally, that sounds kind of weird. But he's speaking figuratively, he's speaking metaphorically, that instead of catching fish, I'm going to help you find people. First, I'm going to change your life. I'm going to do a radical work and transformation in your life. And then I'm going to help you make a radical transformation in the lives of others. I'm going to help you, in other words, reach your potential in me to make an impact on people. And that inspired and stirred the hearts of the disciples. But to follow Jesus, first to even come to faith in Christ, there are things that might be holding us back. Things that we don't want to let go of. Anchors that keep us from holding our potential. And Jesus is telling us, figuratively, whatever that is, if you're here today and you haven't begun following Christ, or you don't even know what that means, because you're worried about giving up a certain part of your life that you think is just so great that you can't live without, or people are going to look at you funny or differently, or people are going to think you're, you know, quote, too religious, or whatever other slur they could throw at you, or quite frankly, you just don't think you have the time for Christ, or whatever it is. He is asking, he is telling you, drop your nets. I'm giving you the opportunity. Drop your nets. Drop that which holds you back and follow me. And when we are in a position to, quote, drop our nets and follow him, you will be amazed in what God can do through you. Point point number three, Jesus was willing to invest time into the community of disciples. So he was intentional, number one, in seeking them out. He cast a vision of what that would mean. But he also had, now if you're going to say, I'm going to make you fishers of men, I'm going to train you, I'm going to help you reach your potential, that requires something that people really struggle with. It's a word that starts with a capital T. What do you think that is? Time. He was willing to invest time into people. Time is a precious thing. You can never get time back. Some of you are here like, I wish I could have this last hour back. There's no getting this last hour back. This guy's been talking for 20-some minutes. I can't have this time back. No, time, once it passes, you ain't getting it back. And it just keeps marching and going forward. You talk to people about anything, it's always, I got to have time. I don't have time. Got to have time for this. Got to make time for this. Don't have time. Don't have time. When we say that we don't have time for something, what we are saying is it's not a priority. I guarantee you, if I said on October, Sunday, October 8th, if you come to Rock Church, I will give you $1 million, which I do not have, so don't take this literally. The busiest people in the world would find time to come. Guarantee you. If you come to my class on Wednesday nights, one of the things that we're going to do is do a little pie chart about what our weeks look like and how we use our time. And it's interesting, even for people who call themselves believers or are believers, how Jesus gets the crumbs of our time, gets the leftovers of our time. But everything is, you know, time is an important, precious commodity. And Jesus was willing to invest time and effort and love and care into other people. Now, are you beginning to see an example for us that we need to be intentional about reaching out to other people? We, as Rock, need to be intentional about getting outside the four walls or doing things within the four walls that are going to reach out to people and begin drawing them into community. And when they're in community, when you're here, I'm hoping that you see, maybe you've never have been here before. Maybe you weren't here last week or you weren't here for our pre-services and you got this idea that maybe there's something bigger and better for my life, something in Christ that I don't have right now, or I'm a believer and you know I want to maximize my potential because time, I don't know how much time I got left. Oh, whether you're young or old, you don't know how much time you got left. You could have 1 year, you could have 20 years, you could have, I don't know. All I know is, with the time that I do have, I want to make the most difference in the lives of people that I can. I want to make the most difference, with Christ working in me, the Holy Spirit working through me, and through our church, because one of two things is going to happen, folks. I don't know if you're aware of this, but at some point, everybody's going to die. I don't know if you're aware of that. So far, it's happened to every person, minus Christ, who actually did die. He just came back. But you know, I mean, and only two other people in the Bible didn't actually die, got taken up to heaven. You're probably not going to be number three, okay? I hate to break that to you. Unless you're one of the fortunate ones, you're around when Jesus returns, because he did say in Acts, the angel said, you will see him come back the same way he left. So he will return visibly. He will return bodily. He will return in glory. And I can't guarantee that you're going to be around for that. I know I brought up last week that you know, the world was supposed to end last Saturday. Didn't end. Just like every other prediction, you know, that some person makes. But the point is this. Whether Christ comes back in your lifetime or whether you meet him at death, our time is limited. And with the time that we have, let us make the most of it to find our potential in Christ and invest that potential into other people. I'll tell you what, if you're greedy with money and you're greedy with time, you will never have enough of it. you will never have enough of it. Because there are always going to be things that you could be doing, things that you could be doing, things that you could buy, things that you could have. I want to encourage you to begin thinking about your time and how you can begin forming relationships with others to cast that vision for them to drop their nets to follow Jesus, where the disciples are now making disciples who make disciples. And how and why this church, working in collaboration with other churches, can help transform this community and give it hope. Spiritual hope, because there's a lot of people that are living well around here. They don't think they need, they think they're fine. They think everything's great. You know, for Andrew and Peter and James and John, I'm not saying they had bad lives before they dropped their nets, but they didn't know Christ. They didn't know their potential in Christ. But they needed to be called into community. They needed to know their potential, and they needed someone to invest that time into them. I wouldn't be up here today if it wasn't for people who invested time into me, who had an interest, took an interest in me. For some of you who are in leadership, it's because people took an interest and invested time in you. I could go on and on. But I want to end on this point. Jesus' commitment in this passage to community and transform lives. Jesus had a commitment to community that would transform lives. That, my friends, can be a process. I've looked at studies, even just inviting people to church. Studies say it can take the average person who might even respond up to 12 to 15 invitations before they'll even consider it. Now, maybe you'll get fortunate and you'll invite somebody and they'll come right away. You never know. Even when you begin working with people, it is an investing time in them. It's a process. Even after somebody comes to know Christ as Lord and Savior, spiritual growth is a process. Paul calls it, you know, in Scripture, it calls us babes in Christ. You're a spirit. You could be 70 years old or you can be 20 years old, but find Christ and biologically be 20, but spiritually be zero. And no offense to babies, they're really cute, but they're not rocket scientists, right? They need nurturing, they need investment, they need time poured into them. And it is a process. I'll close with this illustration from Scripture itself. The Apostle Paul, who wrote over a third of the New Testament, was a religious guy. He was a religious guy. He knew the Old Testament very well. And he called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. We hear the word Pharisee and we think it's like a bad word. Back then, people looked up to the Pharisees because they were people that knew the Old Testament very well and seemed to follow it very, very well. It was Jesus and his crowd that they looked at as the heretics, that they looked at as the people who were going astray. And the Apostle Paul, before he was Paul, if you read the book of Acts, his name was Saul, and his job was to persecute and destroy the church. And Saul was a conspirator who took part in at least one and probably more murders. If he were living in America right now, he would be tried for murder and incarcerated for life in the state of Michigan. If he lived in a state that had capital punishment, he had been put on death row and would be put to death for his crimes. Yet God chose Saul. And in a radical encounter on the road to Damascus, Saul's heart is transformed. And you keep reading the book of Acts, and then you read all of his letters, and he goes on to be literally the greatest Christian missionary who has ever walked the earth. But that wasn't something that just happened overnight. There was a 14-year gap, you read there. I mean, he did stuff. He took part in the... But it's not just like he came to know Jesus and then he went and saved the world. People invested into Paul. People invested. There was a time of training for him before he went out. And then when he went out, he began investing in others, and he began training people in other communities. And then you keep reading Paul's letters. By the time he gets really old, he writes what we call the pastoral epistles. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And now he's beginning to hand the baton down. Again, disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So I don't know where you are on this journey. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward. We're going to close on a song here. But I want to close on a note of hope. I don't know where you are on this journey, all of you. I know some of you. I don't know all of you. If you have yet to come to know Jesus, he's asking you to drop your nets and to follow him. And if you are going to be a follower of Christ, he's still asking you to drop your nets and to truly follow him. As we talk about community, he is calling us to reach out of our comfort zones. He's calling us to invest in people and love people right where they are at. And we're going to get to some of the more messy encounters of Jesus in future messages. But he didn't just say go to the frozen chosen, to the holy rollers and the people who look and sound and act just like you. He said go out and form relationships with people right where they're at and reach your potential in me, and I will help others. I will help you help others reach their potential. And if you want to be a part of a church that honors God, that loves God and love others, the two greatest commandments of Scripture, I want to invite you back to Rock next week. I want to invite you to invite somebody to join us next week to hear more about this message of community. I want to invite you to one of these midweek small groups. I want to invite you to drop your nets, follow Jesus, and let us find our potential in him. Let's stand, and our family ministry intern, Brian, is going to close us in prayer at the appropriate time.
Thanks for listening to The Rock Podcast. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, why don't you come by and meet us sometime? We'd love to have you. Even if you're not, we welcome you to our extended Rock family. Feel free to connect with us at rochurch.org, rockchurch.org. There you'll find information, service times, directions, links to our social feeds, information on our programs, and anything else you might need. If you have a comment on this podcast, feel free to drop us a line. And thanks again for listening.